You're listening to The Schiffer Report. I'm your host, Paul Schiffer. On tonight's broadcast, we have a very explosive topic. We're going to go in depth detail about the Durham Report. You know, the Durham Report pointed out once and for all the legalities and illegalities involved with the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. The Durham Report proves, literally proves, absolutely, that the Trump-Russia collusion operation was all fake. It was Russian disinformation. On tonight's broadcast, we're going to name the Russians behind the scenes that were working out of Moscow to help bring down Trump with this Trump-Russia collusion lie. It's all here. Explosive information. Stay tuned.
If you're tired of fake news and leftist propaganda, then you've come to the right place. It's time for The Schiffer Report with radio journalist, author, and political analyst, Paul Schiffer.
They told us the protests in the summer of 2020 were peaceful. Got $1 billion worth of damage around our cities that says it wasn't. They told us the FBI didn't spy on the Trump campaign. Sure looks like it did. They told us the vaccinated can't get it. You know that's wrong.
You heroes have killed a dozen people this week. What are you going to do next week?
We cannot afford to be so politically correct anymore. We will honor the American people with the truth and nothing else.
Is it just me, or is it getting crazier out there?
I may sound like a Bible beater, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other.
We will not live our lives in fear.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
Live from WHKW, your host, Paul Schiffer.
Thank you, Style. Again, this is The Schiffer Report, heard every Thursday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Folks, we're going to dive deep into this one. Most people, if you've heard about the Durham Report, you've only gotten minor details, minor summaries. Even Fox News really doesn't delve in to the crux of the matter. Now, the Durham Report does mention in some footnotes within the report exposing Operation Crossfire Hurricane. That's what the Trump-Russia collusion hoax was named, Crossfire Hurricane. Any rate, there's so much here, but Durham does mention about the communists involved, certain Russian agents, and everybody has, for 6 years, over 6 years, was told Trump-Russia collusion, Trump worked with the Russia, he's the traitor. When in reality, the meeting that set it all off was August 21st of 2016, where Vice President Biden and CIA Director Brennan at the time, and Obama and Hillary Clinton met to discuss a plot, a plan. They knew it was all lies. They knew it was made up, and they knew they had Russian helps to level the blame of Russian collusion on Donald Trump. And they pounded away at this with their friends in the media. You're going to find out about a big Washington, D.C. Institute that was involved in this. It's a communist front called the Brookings Institute with a guy named Strobe Talbot, who's close friends with Bill and Hillary Clinton. You're going to learn about a Russian agent by the name of Igor Danchenko, and we're also going to talk about Russian influence operations with our guest tonight, and National Socialist and Russian Nationalist that are in America now at the orders of Putin to seed chaos and basically leading up to a civil war, the Russians hope. So it's very explosive information. My guest tonight, Cliff Kincaid, he's been on the broadcast many times before. He's an expert at communism, communist subversion. He's worked down in Washington, D.C. since at least 1979. He worked for an organization for a good 20 years at least called Accuracy in Media. Accuracy in Media was a conservative group that exposed the liberal machinations of the fake news media. My guest tonight, Cliff Kincaid, knew about fake news before Donald Trump started talking about it. So we're going to have a lot of information with our guest tonight, Cliff Kincaid. First, my friend Norm is going to read a couple summaries from one of the most recent articles that Cliff Kincaid wrote concerning this topic.
The name of this article is The Russians in Russiagate. The observations made by Durham and his staff indicate the FBI's corruption goes far beyond political bias against the former President Trump. But Durham didn't draw the conclusion that the FBI has been infiltrated by Russian agents and that the agency cannot be reformed until they are exposed and rooted out. The cover-up continues. In the most explosive revelation about the Get Trump investigation, known as Crossfire Hurricane, Durham raises the idea that the anti-Trump Steele report was Russian disinformation.
That it was. Thanks a lot, Norm, and that's a great summary, by the way. I'll refer to some of these articles, refer to all of them, written by our guest tonight, Cliff Kincaid. He's an excellent writer. He'll talk about the books he has out there, mainly about the communist threat. And my producer, Style, at the end of this program, by tomorrow at the latest, will post all of these articles that we have here. And you can also go to Cliff Kincaid's website. It's called America's Survival by Cliff Kincaid, and also our website, theschifferreport.com. That's the Schiffer Report spelled S-C-H-I-F-F-E-R, theschifferreport.com. I'm going to put all of this information up, plus excerpts that Cliff sent me from the Durham Report will be up there at schifferreport.com. Welcome back to the Schiffer Report, Cliff. How you doing?
Great to be with you, Paul. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, thanks for sending me all of this material. It's a wealth of information. I understand you've read the entire Durham report. It's great the report came out. Too bad the media isn't doing anything with it. But it's got substantial information, proof that people like yourself knew all along that Trump wasn't in bed with the Russians. It was Hillary Clinton. Tell us about a book you wrote years ago where you put out that you knew from day one this was a lie and that the real people in bed with the Russians were Hillary Clinton. And you knew years ago also that Obama was behind this whole charade. Go ahead.
We knew this from the get-go. We had done three books on Obama. We actually held a news conference before he won his first term, documenting his relationship with a suspected Russian Soviet agent by the name of Frank Marshall Davis, a Communist Party member who was a pornographer and even a pedophile. He basically raised Obama. The Russians were behind Obama. They had their hooks into him from the get-go, so there's no surprise that he was in on this meeting, the one you mentioned with Brennan, who, by the way, voted communist in college, where they launched this hoax, later described or named by the FBI as Crossfire Hurricane. There's so many interesting aspects to this, but as you indicated, in the Durham report, there's a whole section. You don't have to read all 300 pages, but go to about page 126 to get to the bottom line, which is that the main source behind the hoax was a Russian national based in the United States working for the Brookings Institution by the name of Igor Danchenko, who, according to the FBI itself, was a suspicious individual who was under investigation for his contacts to Russian intelligence. Without going into too much detail now, I just want to make two points. It wasn't really the DNC or even Hillary or Obama or Brennan who was behind the dossier. It was the Russian intelligence service. This is the group that was feeding the disinformation to this guy, Danchenko. And the fact that the FBI would use him, even though they had investigated him, mm-hmm. and the fact that the FBI never blew the whistle on Obama himself, even though they had a 500-page file on Frank Marshall Davis, to me, Paul, indicates that the FBI itself has been infiltrated even to this day by Russian agents.
In one of the articles you sent me that you recently wrote, again, we'll post it on our website tonight, SchifferReport.com, and go to Cliff's website. He'll tell you all about it in a few minutes. You mentioned that there must be, based on all of this information here, including this very extensive 300-page FBI report, the Durham report, you mentioned there probably is a Russian mole still at the CIA or a group of Russian moles that have been embedded there for a while that have covered this whole thing up or manipulated in a way that it doesn't get the attention that it deserves.
CIA and FBI have both been infiltrated. Now, this is the key question. As some conservatives have been saying, when they try to point the finger at the DNC or Hillary as the source of the dossier, they say, oh, well, this was political bias. No, It's much more sinister than that. If you're dealing with the Russian intelligence services as the source, and that's what the Durham report indicates, then it's not just political bias. The Russians have infiltrated the FBI. Now, this wouldn't be surprising or unusual because in my reports and articles, I mentioned the case of Robert Hansen, who was on and off for 21 years, a mole for the Russians within the FBI.
Up until he was caught in 2001, correct?
He was actually in charge of counterintelligence for the FBI. He was supposed to catch the Russian spies, and he was the Russian spy. So what I'm suggesting is history may repeat itself in the case of the Trump dossier.
It's amazing. Now, let's talk a little bit about Christopher Steele, because he's the main player in this Trump-Russia collusion farce, this lie, this fraud that was perpetrated on the American people. This is just ungodly. The Democrats here are in bed with the Russia, and they twist it all around, flipped it, and pointed the finger, and everybody in the country, not everybody, but a good deal of them, because the media went along with it, believed that Trump Russia, at least with this Durham report now, Trump can and is suing some of the major players. So is Roger Stone, and I would hope that my friend Jerry Corsi jumps on board that, because he was smeared by these same people and interrogated for a week and browbeat. He went through hell. Tell us a little bit about this other major player in all of this, Christopher Steele, the British intelligence officer. Go ahead.
In my opinion, Paul, Christopher Steele is really not a major player. I mean, he did put his name, or his name has been affixed to this hoax, but he was a socialist out of MI6, mm-hmm. who basically was a conduit for the Russian disinformation. And here's where it gets interesting, because as you alluded to, Robert Hansen in the FBI, the Russian mole, actually he was a Soviet, then a Russian mole, was uncovered finally after 21 years, in 2001, just when a guy named Robert Mueller was taken over as FBI director. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
And Robert Mueller is told, well, we've had this big Russian mole problem here. You better institute some reform so we make sure this doesn't happen again. Well, as my articles demonstrate, he failed at that job. Then goes on, botches the post 9/11 anthrax letters investigation, fails to pin it on the culprits, leaves the bureau, and then gets selected as the Russiagate prosecutor. Isn't that fascinating?
Hmm. It's amazing. And they blame Trump all of these years. I'd be really mad if I were him. Newt Gingrich today, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich came out and said, this makes Watergate look like kindergarten, and it really does. And that's another story. You know all about the realities of Watergate, but I digress. Let's talk a little bit about, or maybe a lot about the Brookings Institute. Most people don't know what it is, but it's I used to do a lot of work for over 30 years in Washington, D.C. as a lobbyist for conservative groups. And I'm well aware that Brookings Institute is a major think tank down there, major institute down there in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, has a lot of credibility and clout. But tell the listening audience the true story about the Brookings Institute and how they may have played a major role in this Trump-Russia collusion lie.
The Brookings Institution, a liberal think tank, figures prominently in the whole thing. Remember, the ultimate source of the Russian dossier, this Russian national, Igor Danchenko, was working at the Brookings Institution. He is the one, according to the Durham report, who was the source of most of the disinformation. And he admits he had no documents for it. He had no documentation. He couldn't verify any of it. It gets fed to Christopher Steele. Then it goes through Hillary and the DNC to the FBI. This is the whole sequence of events. Now, we have been years ago because it was headed by a close Hillary confidant who became Deputy Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, Strobe Talbot, who was openly devoted to world government,
right,
and who was named in a book titled Comrade J about a Russian spy master who defected to the U.S. Strobe Talbot was identified as a trusted confidant of the Russian intelligence services. Now, it's really not too surprising. It's almost natural that Danchenko would later, years later, go to work for this outfit.
Yeah.
And then he becomes the key guy trusted by the FBI, even though they never resolved the questions about his service to the Russians in Moscow as the key source in the dossier. He was the guy working for Brookings, and it all goes back eventually to Strobe Talbot, himself considered a trusted contact of the Russian intelligence services. So all of this has been building up for years. We've covered it through my group, USASurvival.org, but most of the media turned a blind eye and a deaf ear.
As they always do, and you're the expert on that because all the years you worked for Accuracy and Media, which was a great conservative outfit. Another question I'd like to ask you is, Strobe Talbot supposedly, now this is all hearsay, but I when there's smoke, there's some fire. Strobe Talbot was a close friend of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and that in 1969, he went to Moscow. Bill Clinton, when he was a college student, when he went to Georgetown University, he went over to Moscow. This is a little known about trip for about 3 months, the end of 1969 through February of 1970. He went to Prague, Czechoslovakia, another communist slave state. And he went there right after his buddy Strobe Talbot went to Moscow. And they had some goings on. We don't have time to go into it. What do you know about the Strobe Talbot Bill Clinton connection and their supposed trips to Moscow in 1969?
I don't know a lot about those trips. I know serious questions have been raised about them. I will say this, that all of these connections inevitably go back to Moscow. For years, if not decades, the Russians have had major influence on the National Democratic Party. And they were the ones, this shows how clever the communists are, they're the ones who funneled the disinformation to Danchenko at Brookings in order to spark the probe of Trump being a Russian agent. You have to sit back, Paul, and think about how clever, how deviously clever,
diabolical
the Russians were, and they used the Democratic Party,
right,
which historically was very sympathetic to the Russians, to mount this campaign, and still to this day, even after the Durham report, we can't get many, even in the conservative media, to talk about the ultimate source being the Putin government in Moscow.
We're going to slide into a quick commercial break. And when we come back, can you stay with us till about quarter till eight?
Absolutely.
Okay. Listening to the Schiffer Report, special guest tonight, expert on communism and communist subversion and infiltration into our government, former employee at the Accuracy in Media, a Washington, D.C. conservative think tank. We'll be right back.
In a world full of entertainers walking on eggshells and other media companies airing whatever message will make them the almighty dollar, StylesRebelRadio.com is a group of free content creators specializing in podcasts, articles, interviews, and more. Everything from conspiracy theories involving JFK and artificial intelligence to local up-and-coming musicians and blogs that take life a little less seriously. StylesRebelRadio.com is your one-stop destination for a wide variety of all entertainment all the time. All content may not be suitable for all ages. StylesRebelRadio.com. All rights reserved.
Hi, this is Jack Cashel, author and friend of The Schiffer Report. On Wednesday, June 28th, I will be speaking at Mulligan's Pub in Canton on the subject of my book, Untenable, the true story of white ethnic flight from America's cities. I'll be appearing with Paul, and we'll be taking your questions and having a beer or two. We welcome you to join us. That's Mulligan's Pub, 4118 Belden Village Street, Northwest, Canton, Ohio, Wednesday, June 28th at 6 p.m. That's Wednesday, June 28th, 6 p.m. My name's Jack Cashel. Hope to see you at Mulligan's Pub.
Hey, Style here on the Schiffer Report tonight. If you listened to the show last week live or you listened on the SchifferReport.com anytime since then, you know we are entirely listener-funded and listener-supported. We talked a little bit about how we set up an alternative for anyone not comfortable with donating a check or any kind of personal donation like that. We had set up a GoFundMe account. You could do credit card donations and things of that nature, along with leaving a message for us here at the Schiffer Report. And I think it's very apropos that Paul picked the James Bond music to come back in. We talked a lot about Russian infiltration and just infiltration of our nation in general, but it's not just at a national level we're seeing this, because the major liberal media doesn't even want to give us a chance to fund our own show here. Now, our GoFundMe has been taken down. I apologize if you have donated to it or if you have tried to donate through it throughout the week. If you have, it has been refunded to you. But the reason behind our GoFundMe being taken down is because we had the words Christian and conservative in the description. Because of those two things, they took down our GoFundMe account and wouldn't even let us have the option to continue to fund the show. And, well, we're just not going to let the major liberal media win this fight. So we want to go ahead and set up a Give, Send, Go account, which is a Christian-based organization, alongside giving donations to the Schiffer Report. Again, we're entirely listener-supported. Alongside your donations, you can also send prayer requests and leave comments for us there. Again, that's Give, Send, Go. It's right on the homepage of theschifferreport.com. And we thank you for everybody who listens and supports the show. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Paul.
Thank you very much, Style. You did a great job there. My producer, Style, he also is the creator and operates the website every day, theschifferreport.com. So pay heed to what he said. Also, if you'd like to call in now, if you have a question or comment from my guest, Cliff Kincaid, the number is 216-901-0933. That number again is 216-901-0933. Also, I still didn't get many of the checks in at all that were sent last week. I want to put a shout out to and a thank you, big thank you to Bonnie for her donation. Thanks, Bonnie, that helped keep the show on the air this week. And also Sarah, who sent a nice donation and a nice note saying how much she and others appreciate the show. We do appreciate that. God bless you both. We hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. In the meantime, though, if you were planning or made a commitment last week, there's others that did, and you want to donate still, maybe you put the check in the mail, but my address is 2434 Whipple Avenue Northwest. That's 2434 Whipple, spelled W-H-I-P-P-L-E, Whipple Avenue Northwest, Apartment 1. That's Apartment 1 in Canton, Ohio, 44708. Hopefully those checks are in the mail, because we need to raise $2,000 or $3,000 immediately. So be kind enough to prayerfully consider donating. And again, if you'd like to donate too, and want to talk to Style and make a commitment to him, my producer in the studio room, give him a call, 216-901-0933, 216-901-0933, and he has my address there. Make that commitment to Style. Back to Cliff. Sorry about doing that to you, Cliff, but had to pay the bills. Go ahead.
I almost have to join you in urging people to support you, support your show. It's one of the few outlets I have because, as you know, Paul, I'm one of the most censored journalists in the world, from the left and right. And also, my group, USASurvival.org, has been censored to a significant degree. We once had 500 anti-communist videos on our website. All of them were taken down by YouTube. Then we got defunded by the Scaife Foundation once its anti-communist head, Dick Scaife, passed away, and it got into the hands of liberals. So they defunded us. And then plus our other means of fundraising have failed to bring in what we need. And we desperately need thousands and thousands of dollars as we try to relaunch a national television program through another social media platform. What we have, as you suggested earlier, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I've got over 40 years of experience as an anti-communist analyst through groups like Accuracy and Media. I worked for Ollie North for a while. I worked for Human Events, which was Reagan's favorite newspaper.
Yes, it was.
We've got great sources. We've got a virtual collection of old reports from the House Committee on Un-American Activities, later named the House Internal Security Committee, which we can consult. And by the way, we are suggesting, and in the midst of a petition campaign to get Kevin McCarthy, the House Speaker, to relaunch a committee of that kind. Because, as I say, who else is going to get to the bottom of what the Russians were up to here? And who else is going to get to the bottom of the fact that we have literally, as I've documented personally, dozens of communist groups active in the United States? If you go to my website, USASurvival.org, you'll see all the background documents for what we've been talking about tonight, plus a special report I put up there about the March 18th rally in D.C., where literally dozens of communist groups were openly parading on behalf of China, Russia, North Korea, and Cuba. The FBI just isn't paying any attention anymore, and the reason is they've been infiltrated by communists. I hate to put it bluntly, and the same applies to the CIA. I could bring up cases like Aldrich Ames, who was a Russian mole in the CIA, but the Hansen case I mentioned earlier is an indication, as well as what they did to Trump, that the communist infiltration of these agencies has got to be exposed and uncovered, and the communists have to be named and purged from this bureau.
Now, since you named Igor Danchenko seems to be the main Russian agent that was involved in the Trump-Russia collusion lie, the Crossfire Hurricane operation, it was called. What else do you know about Igor Danchenko? And were there other FBI agents that suspected him and were doing an active, ongoing investigation of him until this all came to a close? What does the Durham say about other Russian agents and other FBI agents who may have been on to Igor Danchenko?
Here's the bizarre thing. There appeared to be some concern within the Bureau at some level that Danchenko, who, remember, he's the ultimate source of the discredited information or disinformation in the Trump dossier, that Danchenko was linked to Russia, not only because he was a Russian national here on a green card working at Brookings, but that he had links to Moscow, he had links to Russian intelligence services, he had links, he had been seen with Russian embassy officials. And so the FBI itself opened an investigation of the guy. And then they closed it, according to Durham, when they thought he had left the country, he had gone back to Russia. Well, he hadn't. Now, is this, I submit, Paul, this goes way beyond incompetence. Somebody was protecting this guy because they wanted the Get Trump operation to go forward. And in fact, here's what's fascinating, too, about the case. Durham ends up bringing charges of lying against Danchenko in federal court in the United States of lying to the FBI. Well, Danchenko gets acquitted on all four charges. Why? Because the FBI had testified they regarded him as a valuable source. Well, why would they regard a Russian national here working for Brookings as a valuable source when they had opened an investigation of him and had suspicions about him from the get-go and didn't know whether he was here or in Russia? It all smells to high heaven.
Now, the Durham report mentioned some other Americans that dabbled in Russian intelligence a little bit. One of them lived and worked as a professor and went to college in Moscow, I think Moscow University. And we're talking about the Orr couple, Bruce and Nellie Orr. Now, somebody who's an expert like you are on communism, a best-selling author, I forget her name, but has a book out. But at any rate, to her and Trevor Loudon, who's another friend of yours, by the way, a lot of people listen to my show. I've had Trevor on, and my audience loves Trevor. Trevor is a good friend of Cliff's. So is J.R. Nyquist, who's been on the show. What do you say about the Orrs? Another document, a memo came out from Gateway Pundit stipulating that Bruce and Nellie Orr were really knee-deep in all this stuff, the Russian collusion lie, the disinformation campaign. They were working with Igor Danchenko. Like I said earlier, she went to college in Moscow. Do you know anything about them?
I know some. There's a lot in the Durham report that's relevant, and it gets very complicated. But I'll tell you, Paul, to try to sum it up from my point of view. As I said in a recent column, and you can find all of this at usasurvival.org, all roads lead back to Obama. All of the problems, well, I shouldn't say all, but many of the problems we see in the Durham report can be traced back to the Obama administration. All of these people we've named seem to have a link back to the Obama administration. And here's where the FBI's culpability shows through again. We held a news conference before Obama won his first term in 2008, releasing a 500-page file from the FBI on Obama's communist mentor, Frank Marshall Davis. Mm-hmm. Now, was there any evidence, any indication at all that the FBI or anybody else raised concerns about the loyalty of Barack Hussein Obama before he took the oath of office to the United States? No. And why was the FBI silent? They knew Obama was in contact with a communist. They know the communist, Davis, was on the FBI security index for 19 years, was suspected of being a Soviet Russian intelligence agent, and yet they remain silent. And instead, things get worse, bringing us up to date, when they permit, I say that deliberately, they permit the Russian intelligence service to concoct the Russian Trump dossier to be funneled through the DNC and Hillary to the FBI, and the FBI consciously uses that to go after Trump. What does that tell you about the rot and corruption and infiltration of the Federal Bureau of Investigation? I mean, Nellie Orr and her husband and Steele and even Danchenko, to some extent,
yeah,
are bit players in this whole thing. Because what the Congress needs to do, perhaps through a House Internal Security Committee, is to investigate the FBI itself and identify the moles still there.
In conclusion here, we've got another 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. You wrote a piece today, sent it out to me, called titled Russian Influence Operations in America. And this is about some more devious, dastardly things the Russians are doing over here. Explain, they're manipulating two different groups in this country, and a mass shooting was perpetrated by at least one of these Russians or pro-Russian people. You've got the Nazis that the which is not many, but the liberal media and the Biden administration thinks that's their number one threat, white supremacists. But they're being funded by and promoted by the Russians, and that's one group. And then you got another group of what's called Russian nationalists, who are basically led by Putin's number one guy or advisor over there. Tell us about these two groups and their influence operations taking place right now in America.
People have to realize the Russians are so much better than the Chinese at manipulating the conditions that they hope will lead to a civil war in the United States. I mentioned two cases, and they're up on my website under the headline Russian Influence Operations. If you check out the Texas mall shooter, this guy, described as a white nationalist by the name of Mauricio Garcia, mm-hmm, a Mexican white nationalist, can you believe that? Who was a neo-Nazi using a Russian social media app to distribute his hate and poison. I mentioned the other case where the Department of Justice has moved in a minor way against an African communist liberation movement based in Florida, the African People's Socialist Party, for working with the Russians on behalf of causes here like reparations and so forth, and also trying to launch a petition against genocide here in the United States, working openly with the Russians, including the FSB and the Russian communists in Moscow. All of this has been revealed by the Justice Department itself. The latter has. But my point in the column, you can read it for yourself, is the FBI in this case isn't charging them with being communists, which should be the charge because they don't enforce those anti-communist laws anymore. They charge these African black liberation activists with being unregistered agents of Russia.
Mm.
That's sort of a ludicrous minor charge, and it just goes to show that the FBI infiltrated itself, doesn't even go after domestic communists, even with links to China and Russia anymore.
And you make clear in one of these recent articles, Cliff, that there still are laws on the books to against communists and being a part of this. The laws are still on the books. Nobody mentions that or enforces these said laws.
Right. Communist Control Act.
Okay.
Passed almost 50 years ago, still on the books, could still be enforced. But, of course, the Biden Justice Department couldn't care less.
Amazing. Well, thanks for being with us tonight, Cliff. We'll have you back soon. I've known Cliff for quite a few years. Norm's met him a couple times at his meetings. He used to throw meetings all the time at the National Press Club. These were big-time meetings where he had experts there, the press was there, conservative and liberal media. And you were the first one, along with your friend Trevor Loudon, you were exposing Barack Hussein Obama back in 08 when he was at some of these meetings at the National Press Club.
It's true. It was Trevor who originally discovered the Frank Marshall Davis connection. We confirmed that he was Obama's mentor, and we got the FBI file on him and released that in August of 2008, even before he won his first term. The media could have cared less.
Amazing. Well, your website's called usasurvival.org. That's usasurvival.org. I actually get to it just by typing in americasurvival.org. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for this information. I will keep pounding away on this topic, and some of the stuff will be up on my website by tonight or tomorrow, theschifferreport.com. And have a great Memorial Day weekend, Cliff.
Same to you, and thanks so much, Paul.
No problem. Take care. We have about 4 minutes, less than that. We're going to put in a tribute to the veterans on Memorial Day. This is Memorial Day weekend coming up, and got a little dedication. This is actually from the soundtrack of the movie We Were Soldiers, great Mel Gibson movie. Norm, you've seen the movie, and we're going to play the last song that was in the movie, also on this CD called Mansions of the Lord, very patriotic by National Cadet Glee Club Choir and Orchestra. Real quick, We need your donations. There's still people that didn't send in their checks from their commitment. Please send a check to keep the show on the air, at least 50, 100, 200 bucks, whatever you can give, to Paul Schiffer. That's Paul Schiffer, S-C-H-I-F-F-E-R, 2434 Whipple Avenue, Northwest, Apartment 1, Canton, Ohio, 44708. Also, you heard the commercial halfway through the show from my friend, best-selling author Jack Cashel. We are throwing an event Wednesday, June 28th. Mark that on your calendar. This is also promoted on the website, theschifferreport.com. Wednesday, June 28th at 6 p.m. at Mulligan's Pub in Canton. An evening with Jack Cashel, best-selling author of over 15 books, including exposés on Barack Hussein Obama. He will be at Mulligan's Pub Wednesday, June 28th. Mulligan's Pub, 4118 Belden Village Street, Northwest, Canton, Ohio. That's an evening with Jack Cashel at Mulligan's Pub, 4118 Belden Village Street, Northwest, Canton, Ohio. Still got a few minutes left, Norm. You're a Vietnam vet. Thanks for serving our country. You were there facing the fire. You know a little bit about the We Were Soldiers movie because you were there in a helicopter flying around I Drang, where the movie was set at. Tell us a little bit about I Drang and what you encountered in Vietnam as a gunner on a helicopter.
I basically flew in a place called I Corps, which was the Central Highlands, and we were located on the South China Sea right on the beach. I flew for the 5th Marines and all kind of different Army units that were 11 Bravo. I would say, let's remember these guys and gals, that the most important thing when you look at that flag, it has red stripes on it. And what that reminds me of and makes me remember is the blood that was shed for generations for your liberty and your freedom. So it's treated with respect. We should stand when the colors go by. We should remember these people that gave their all. They have not got to or not been able to partake of the wonderful things that I myself have partaken of. Let's remember them and never forget the terrible price they paid for you being able to do what you're doing right now, even listening to this program.
And you flew over a lot. You're familiar with that spot
LC
that was
X-ray.
Depicted in We Were Soldiers, the Mel Gibson great movie. It's a true story based on Colonel, what was his name?
Hal Moore.
Hal Moore. He was there at the filming. He's a retired general now. He passed away recently. The famous spot, I Drang. You know
Drang,
all the stories.
I Drang Valley,
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for your service. You flew in helicopters there for about a year, right?
A year. Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, boy, Norm's got some stories, too, about how terrible that was, how hectic that was. So God bless all of the Vietnam veterans out there. Thanks for listening to the Schiffer Report. And now we're going to put in this clip. It's a powerful piece of music that was in the movie We Were Soldiers. It's called The Mansions of the Lord. Thanks for listening to the Schiffer Report, and please prayerfully consider to give. And everybody out there, have a great Memorial Day weekend.
The Schiffer Report with host Paul Schiffer. You'll hear insightful analysis of the news and interviews with the top conservative thinkers from across America. Paul Schiffer brings decades of public policy experience to the microphone, along with an uncompromising commitment to the conservative Christian principles that make this nation great.
The preceding program is sponsored by Paul Schiffer.